Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Amen, amen. It's good to be at Southside. It's good to be at Southside, amen. Happy Sabbath to you all. It's a pleasure to be in the house today worshiping with you all on such an auspicious occasion, the beginning of an evangelistic week. Amen. There are many churches who have given up on evangelism. Amen. And they come and they worship amongst themselves and try to get all that they can get so that they can go back into the world, but never reaching out to those who are still lost. So it is an exciting time for me to see that Southside has not forgotten about the community. And to the pastor and the first lady of this house, who are humble servants to you all, who are ever ready for an encouraging word to minister to you all with open arms and loving hearts, I thank you for having me here on today. I must give a disclaimer before I start that it's not about you. The message is not about you today, amen? It's about the people who will be coming into those walls during this week and how your part is to be servants to them, amen? Because we have the promise of freedom in Jesus Christ. And there are many people who will come into those walls who don't have that freedom because they know not Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings to the table. And it's our duty as Christians to make sure that that's number one. It's not about what they look like or what they're wearing or what they're not wearing and what they eat and what they don't eat, but it's that they know Jesus Christ first. So that they know that their lives will never be the same if they accept Jesus Christ. And all of that other stuff will come afterwards. Amen? Amen. Turn with me to in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, verse 23. The Bible says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," talking about Paul and Silas, "they cast them into the inner prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, put them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks or the chains." But something happened, and at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began praying and singing praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. They were listening attentively. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and all the bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out of his sword to commit suicide, because he knew that if his boss and the officials found out that prisoners escaped, he would be killed. But then Paul said with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here. We're just praising God." Then he called for a light, and he came, then he brought them outside, Paul and Silas. He brought Paul and Silas outside, and he said, "What must I do to be saved? I'm going to be speaking on the subject today, down but not out. Down but not out. That even though I appear to be in a hopeless situation, don't count me out just yet. I know it looks like there is no way out for me, but don't count me out just yet. Don't give up. Don't write me off because I'm not from where you're from. Don't write me off because I haven't been a Christian all my life. I'm down, but don't count me out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and all of the glory because you are worthy. We thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ, who has come to set the captives free. And we thank you that you have entrusted us, your people, those who are saved, to bring the gospel to those who are not. I ask that you would remove all selfish motives for this evangelistic meeting and make sure that our hearts are pure and focused on the task at hand. For you said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." So, God, I ask that you would fill us, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that we can do just that. Let the church say amen. 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 CNN reported December 2009 that after 3 decades in prison, a man by the name of James Bain was set free after DNA tests showed that he did not indeed kidnap and rape a 9-year-old boy in 1974. Bain was 19 at the time of his conviction. He was charged on kidnapping, burglary, and strong arm rape. He received a life sentence without parole. And after 35 years in prison, it was now time to go home for the first time. And Bain, standing outside at the age of 54, wearing a t-shirt that said, "Not guilty," across the front, told reporters, "I'm not angry. I got God in my head. And I knew one day he will reveal me." Oh, this is the kind of story that all preachers would be able to segue into, that I once was charged with being a sinner. But because I had accepted Christ, Jesus' blood exonerated me from the charges. It would be easy to go on and say that once you accept Jesus Christ, you will be set free from prison, no longer in bondage, and able to live a free life. But we can clap our hands and praise that finally, the justice system ended up working out in somebody's favor, a man who was innocent. But my concern is not the praise for James, but my concern are for all of the prisoners who were left behind, who did not have any hope. You see, James was in prison with a mindset that he was innocent. So every night he went to bed, there was this hope that maybe I'll get a call from the lawyer saying, "We got some new information and you can go home. We have some evidence to prove your innocence and you can go home." He had something to hold on to while in his cell that he could possibly gain freedom. But what about the other prisoners who are guilty because they are guilty and in prison because they deserve to be in prison? Where's the hope for those prisoners? You see, it's easy to live in a bad situation when you have a little bit of hope. But it's hard to live in a situation when there's no hope and you know that everything you're getting at that moment, you deserve it. You see, we have situations in our life that we can say that, you know, I didn't bring this on to myself. I didn't ask for this. I don't have friends right now because somebody else lied on me. And I have the hope that one day, like the saying says, that all things come to light, that somebody will say, you know, you really didn't talk about me. Let's just squash this. There are some things where you are accused of stealing and people don't trust you anymore, but there's always this hope that somebody will find out that no. I you're acting as if I'm guilty, but I'm really free. But then there are those of us who are guilty because of our own decision making. And we are guilty because we have actually committed the offense. A couple of months ago, I got a ticket in the mail for $326.75. When I opened the ticket, it said, "Moving violation. You turned right on red and you wasn't supposed to." So I said, well, duh, I can fight this. I'm just going to go send a letter and say, you know, there's a misunderstanding. I believe I did stop. You don't have any evidence, so please remove the charges. And then a couple of pictures dropped. So now I'm looking at all kind of angles. They had three headshots from the left, the right. They had the car with the license plate on it. They had me looking to the left and turning right. But then I said, you know what? I can still fight this because I don't see a light in the picture. I don't see the stoplight that is red in the picture. And I don't see a sign that says no turning on red. I can fight this. There's no evidence to prove that I'm guilty. But then there was a little disclaimer that said, if you want to see the video, go to the link provided. So I went online and I pulled up the offense, and there I am. Car, light, sign, everything. I was guilty as charged. So the only option I had was to pay the money on time or wait a month and have it go up to $500 or have it to stay on my record. Guilty as charged. And it was my fault. Yes, I brought it on myself. And though I was able to pay my debt, there are some things in life that we have got ourselves into that are lifelong consequences. And we have to live in those consequences. We picked the baby mama or the baby daddy that we can no longer stand. But we have to live the rest of our life getting along for the sake of the child. We were texting while driving and got in an accident, and now we can't walk right. And so we have to live the rest of our life with a limp because of something that we caused on ourselves. We are jobless because we did an offense at a previous job that every time we get a reference call, we're getting denied because we did something and we're guilty as charged. How can we find hope in a hopeless situation when the consequences are there and we deserve the consequences. I come here to tell you that there are people out in the community who you could easily say that they're in the situation because they deserve to be. Nobody told them to pick up the drugs, but they did it anyway. Nobody told them to get themselves in debt, and it's easy to write somebody off who deserves the consequences. And it's easy to overlook when you're walking around with a not guilty t-shirt on because everything in your life is all right. The reality of the situation is there are more people who are guilty than those of us who are saved and have the blood of Jesus and who are now innocent. And we have to encourage those outside in helpless situations that there is hope. Amen? And the hope is, who is it? Jesus Christ. The story starts off, and I'm going to jump to some prisoners who were in the inner prison. You can find that in Acts 16, verse 24. They were in the prison, in the inner prison. Understand that the buildings in those days were quite different than the nice prisons that we have here with televisions and workout rooms and gyms. These were basically carved on sides of mountains, or dungeons, if you will, where prisoners were kept. Specifically, the inner prison was a place, something what we have called solitary confinement, where the worst offenders are put. The murderers and the pedophiles and the serial killers, amen, are in the inner prison, in the dark, in a dark situation with no light in the prison. These are the people who deserve everything that they're getting, because nobody told them, well, they didn't have guns back then, so nobody told them to stab that person, amen? Nobody told them to kidnap. Nobody told them to make the decision that they made, but yet they did it anyway. And so now we have a hopeless situation in an inner prison in the book of Acts. They expected to die in the prison. They didn't expect freedom. They didn't expect visitors. They didn't expect sympathy. They were just going to stay there until they died without hope. But one day, there was some ruckus happening in the prison. And while the prisoners were talking and doing what they normally do to occupy themselves, reminiscing about their past offenses or how it used to be on the outside when they had freedom, how they used to hang out and how they used to kick it and do what they did, but then they got caught up in some mess, and so now they're here. There were some ruckus because they heard two voices coming through the prison. Two voices coming in the prison, and named Paul and Silas. a jailer was bringing two more prisoners into the cell. So the current prisoners got excited. There was some fresh meat coming into the prison cell. Somebody to wash their clothes now. Somebody they can pick on and have them do things for them. There were two more prisoners coming in to the prison. And so curiosity began to wonder in their minds, who are these people and what are they in here for? I can just imagine as Paul and Silas got chained up to the wall, that they started hearing voices. Hey, what are you in for? Psst. Why are you here? What is your name? And if you know anything about going to prison, if you end up there, which I hope and pray that you do not, the worst thing you can do is go into a prison where there are murderers and thieves and say that you're in there for something like tax evasion. You are setting yourself up to get picked on. So what would Paul and Silas tell these prisoners? What are you in here for? Paul and Silas would tell the truth, obviously, as Christians. They said, we just casted out a demon. We just did what God told us to do. We were just setting somebody free. You see, before Paul and Silas ended up in the inner prison, they were out and about, and there was a young lady following them everywhere they went to witness, saying, these are the men who are giving out salvation as if it was just some random new gadget. And Paul and Silas got tired of this lady because they recognized that she was filled with a demon, that she had another agenda. See, she was acting like she was with them so that she can get some profit for her masters. And so Paul and Silas said, no. She has to go. So he cast out a demon and set her free. And anybody would say, well, that is a good thing. But no, the officials were upset, because her masters complained to the officials that these two people are messing up our revenue. They're messing up our profits, and we want them put in prison and tried. As Christians, even though we are commissioned to do the work of God, we have to have the mindset that we might end up in a situation that we don't deserve to be in just because we stood up and did what God told us to do. God is looking for some Christians, some young people such as yourself, who is willing to do and go wherever God leads you to go. See, being a Christian, we in the society, they paint us as some weak individuals. But Christians have to have some tough, thick skin. This is the worst gang to be in. It's not like the Crips and the Bloods. No. This is even worse, because you have to plan on dying by yourself sometimes. This is the kind of gang where you are forced to go into situations knowing that everybody is against you. See, the Crips and Bloods, they stay on their own turf. But as a Christian, you have to go outside of your comfort zone to do what God has commanded you to do. Christians in evangelism, we have to understand that it's not about us. but it's about the greater purpose of getting more into the kingdom. So Paul and Silas, they didn't care that they were beat in public naked. Being a Christian, you will become exposed sometimes. People will expose you in public. Oh, you didn't always be this good. You weren't always a good student. Remember, you cheated off me. They will expose you in public. But you have to have tough skin to go where you're going. Because there are some people in the inner prison, in dark places, hungry and waiting for somebody to come down and save them. Christian evangelism. Youth, you gotta be tough. Come on, somebody. This is not for the weak. It's not for the weak. So Paul and Silas were in the prison, beaten, bruised, tore up, surrounded by the worst people in the city. Most churches are surrounded by the worst people in the city. I don't know about this area, but my church is in the ghetto, the hood, okay? The worst people in the city. Oakland, California breaks records every year for homicides. We are in the midst of the worst. We cannot afford to walk around not paying attention to those in need and coming in the four walls and ignoring the people around us who are in a hopeless situation. Because there are some people around who would come in, but they say, my situation is just so bad that I don't see how God can fit into the equation. You see, I've got myself in so much mess that even if I accept God, I can't see the benefit because my situation is so bad. But God is sending us down to the inner prison, the deep prison. So even though these people are down, you cannot count them out. There's a message to give them. So they ran in a prison. And they could feel their bodies in pain. They could almost feel the swelling in their legs with their hands, even though they could barely feel their hands. Beaten for the cause. In the inner prison, it's a nice time to go off on God. Amen. When you're not in front of other Christian folk behind the pulpit, you have to act like everything is all right. It could have been a good time for them to really go off on God and say, whoa, what are you doing? Why am I in this situation? I've served you all along, but yet I'm surrounded in the dark by criminals. They could have complained. They could have given up all hope and said, you know what? Forget this God. They could have given God an ultimatum. If you don't get me out, I'll never serve you again. You know how we are. If you don't get me out, God, I'm just going to give it all up. They could have gone that route. But instead, their hearts were encouraged because spiritually they could see the bigger picture. That I'm down here in this situation so that I can help somebody else. See, Paul and Silas were like Mr. Bane. They were in there and they figure, since we're innocent, we got some prayer warriors at Lydia's house, so maybe they're praying and we'll get out eventually. They had some type of promise to say that God will not leave us nor forsake us, and he will find a way to get us out. They had some type of hope, but their neighbors had nothing. All they had was a promise that as long as their body could live in these conditions, that this is how they'll live for the rest of their life. There was no hope. And even though it's a physical prison, many of us are living in circumstances that kind of feel like we're really in jail, really in San Quentin. But God has a message for those people, and we have to give it to them. So back to the prison. Paul and Silas did not complain. Instead, they began praying. They began praying, and I don't believe that it was the kind of prayer that we like to pray when we're in bad situations. Dear God, help me get out of this situation. Dear God, you know I didn't study for that test, but bring everything back to remembrance that I didn't study in the first place. If you can do that, I would know you're a real God. Dear God, you know I spent the money for my rent on Coach purses. But if you can just touch that bank teller and just move her hand to calculate $5,000 and transfer it into my bank account, God, I will trust you forever. I will know that you are a real God. It wasn't the kind of selfish prayer that God, get me out of this mess and I'll serve you forever, because you know those are empty promises anyway. How many times have we promised God that we'll act a certain way or do something if he get us out of a situation, and we get out and we don't even remember who God is until we come to church, of course. But the point is that we are not really committed to that thing. No. Paul and Silas, the perfect example. Probably threw out a prayer in their agony. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just want to praise you just because you're God. Ooh. Even though my situation looks hopeless, I know you have a broader plan for all of this mess. See, God, my neighbors don't know you like I know you. So if you could use me to help them find you, then use me, Lord. You can use me. Lord, use me as a vessel, even in my brokenness, to help somebody else. God, you are good. You are excellent and worthy to be praised. Paul and Silas, they had a relationship such with God that no matter what came their way, they always had a praise on their lips. They weren't wishy-washy with God, that when times are good, we praise, but when times are bad, we forget about God and we curse God. No, they praise God in the good and the bad, and they acknowledge that God always had a plan. They knew their steps were ordered by him, and that no matter what happened, God will eventually get the glory. Paul and Silas knew how to pray in that type of situation. They didn't ask to be set free. They didn't ask, God, just take the pain away, but God, help me to live in my situation the way that it is. You see, God is trying to strengthen us. So many times we pray, God, help me get out, when we should pray, God, help me deal while I'm in. So the next time I get in, I'll have better insight. I'll be stronger and I'll be wiser and I'll know how to deal in the situation the next time that I'm in it. Paul and Silas began to pray and they began to sing praises to God. They began to sing, and it wasn't a song of God, help me. Help me get out today, but it was a song of praise, of a song admonishing who God is, because he is who he is, and he's great, and he's worthy to be praised. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, acknowledging that God is mighty, that he is wonderful and magnificent. It no longer became about them in the cell, but it became about God and what he can do in this situation. Even in my situation, you're worthy to be praised. Paul and Silas in shackles.
You are Alpha.
When was the last time you were in a bad situation and you just lifted up your hand and you said,
we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
In the midst of my trial,
we give you
all the glory. Hallelujah.
All the
yes.
Glory.
Because you have a greater plan, oh God.
We worship you.
And that's to save those who are lost. Hallelujah. They kept on singing and praising.
We give you
even in my state. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Because you're worthy to be praised.
We worship you.
And we give you all of the glory. And the honor. You might be in a situation right now that is not favorable to you. It seems hopeless, but can you still just lift your voice and give God a praise anyhow?
You are Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
And the other prisoners,
you are Alpha,
they began listening.
And
the Greek word used for listening was, it's more like an attentive listening, so that they didn't only listen, but they began to join in. And they began to,
we give you all,
hallelujah,
the glory.
Hallelujah.
We worship you.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
See, when you're in your situation, the way that you react in your situation will determine how others act around you in the situation. If you praise, they'll praise. If you have hope, they'll have hope. If you worship, they'll worship. But if you sit there and act confused and conflicted like you don't know God, they won't know him either. But they kept on praising in the midst.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
And the prisoners, along with Paul and Silas, were in one accord, deep down in a dark situation. They begin praising, and they continued praising, and the Bible doesn't say how long they praised for. But as a result of their praise, something began to happen. See, the Bible says that when praises go up, blessings come down. And I believe that sometimes the blessing doesn't only come in the form of the answer that you need, but sometimes God himself will come down into your situation. They began singing and they continued singing. They were all on one accord. And suddenly, something began to happen. Something began to happen. The prisoners began to feel who they were singing about on the inside. It began real to them. They began to feel that God was actually in this place, that something supernatural was about to happen. So that even though they were in a hopeless situation and they knew that they would never probably get out, they had something better to hold on to. There was something called a God who gives out a praise. And even though you don't get it right now, you can look forward to it later. So they knew that they might not live differently on this earth, but then there was a gift that would be given to them in the future. That even though I'm not free here, I'll be free in heaven when Jesus comes back. And so that began to resonate with the prisoners, and they continued to sing that you are Alpha and you are Omega, because they knew that they now had something that wasn't tangible, but it was something on the inside. So when they would be in the dark place in their situation, they would have hope in the name called Jesus. And every time they felt in despair because of their circumstance, they would just think on the name of Jesus, and they would get excited and get happy because they knew that there was something greater for them than this life. There are people in this community who will probably never live on a level that you and I live, but they'll have some hope that one day, when Jesus comes back, that they will have a hope greater than the hope that the world could ever offer. It's called freedom for eternity. And so they were in the cell, and they kept on singing, and they kept on praising God. And God himself, sitting in heaven, probably looking down, wondering, what is that noise? It's not the sound of the angels crying, holy, holy, holy. It's not the sound of the angels saying, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name. But it's a sound from underneath the earth in a dark dungeon place saying Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So God figures, well, let me go down and see for myself. You see, when you praise, God will come down himself in the midst of your situation. So God is on his way down to see about these prisoners. And he's going, and the prisoners are singing, and all of a sudden, the earth began to shake beneath their feet as they were praising God. The ground began to shake and the walls began to tremble, because when you praise, things begin to happen. See, young people, we need some earthquake movers. Come on, somebody. We need you to be so in tune with God that when you praise, things begin to happen in your situation, not just for you, but for those who are lost. Your praise should bring in somebody who is helpless into the fold, because they see how you live your life and how you are happy even in your dark situation, that they can be happy too, that they can be free from sin, because you have once been freed from sin. And so the earth began to shake. The earth began to shake, and there was a loud earthquake sound. Come on. I'm talking about that type of Haiti earthquake, you know. Amen. So the earth began to move, and it began to shake, and everything began to tremble. See, when you praise, your situation will shake up so that your situation can't remain intact. It will begin to break down. So the prison where they were in their situation began to break down, and they began to get loose, so that no longer did they have to just stand there and praise God, but they had mobility. See, when you begin to praise God, even in your stuck situation, God will come down so that you will have mobility to praise Him. So it doesn't profit you to sit there on your seat and act like you can't move. But when God does something for you, you gotta get mobility and wave a hand and stomp your feet and give God the praise, because He has helped you out and He'll help your neighbor out. And we can no longer stand in our situation and not give God the praise. Because when we praise, God comes down. And when God comes down, lives are changed. And when lives are changed, people are healed. And when people are healed, the church grows and we become healthy to save more people out all over the world. See, you think this evangelistic weekend is about Bakersfield. Oh, no, it's not. See, God is trying to put Bakersfield on the map all across the world. He's about to put you on Facebook and YouTube and your own page, because something will be happening here where lives will be changed. People will have a testimony that the young people of Bakersfield Southside SDA Church has something so precious, that when I came into this place, I was hugged by somebody. When I came into this place, they didn't talk about how poorly I was dressed, and they didn't focus on my makeup, and they didn't focus on that, but they met my need. They asked me how my children were doing. They asked me, do you have enough to eat? They asked me things about me and my person so that they can help and nurture me. They asked me, did I know God and would I like Bible study? Come on, somebody. We gotta stop being the type of church that puts all these rules in front of people first and then try to throw God in as a last resort. Come on, somebody. Jesus has to be first. And so this evangelistic meeting is Christ first. Come on, somebody. Christ first and tools to live afterwards. All we need is Jesus. We need Jesus. When you've had no hope all your life, you don't need somebody to come tell you to get off drugs. I know that. I've been on them for 20 years. Not me personally, but I'm just saying. I know that. I know what I need to do, but I just need help. I need somebody to call me in the midnight hour when I'm ready to take another hit. Come on, somebody. I need another young person to call me when I'm ready to spread my legs in the midnight hour. Come on, somebody. This is real stuff. I need to be able to be accountable to a church, to a pastor, to young people, to elders who are concerned about me. me. Hallelujah. Concerned about me. Concerned about me. And so then, the jailer, the one who put Paul and Silas in the prison, was awakened. He was awakened because something was different. You see, the same people that persecute you for being a Christian, when they see God working in your life, they will be the same people to come bow down and say, how can I be saved? We can't be the type of resentful people that when our enemies come before us, that we shun them off. No, 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 no. We got to forgive and accept those people. The jailer, the same one that put him in the prison, he came and right before he was going to stab himself because the jailers were all loose. Now, come on now. Now, this has to be God. Has to be God. The worst prisoners in the country. No chains on their bodies. Doors, cells open. Okay, you know, okay. Let me put it like this. San Francisco Zoo. You go to the zoo. The tiger cage is down. The bears are out. You're walking around and you don't get attacked. Hostile situation, right? The same in the prison. Murderers, serial killers, with the opportunity to escape to freedom, are doing nothing but praising God. That has to be God. You see, what happened was, see, these people, they could have said that, okay, God, you saved me, so now I can go out free. But that doesn't happen for everybody. Because God is not going to save you and then take away the circumstances. Amen? Not all the time. Right? There are some things that we overcome and that we never deal with or see the residue of it ever again. But then there's some things that we've done and we have to just write out our sentence. But God says, I'm doing that so that you will be stronger. And it's not a punishment because I'll help you live through it. And so the prisoners were not concerned about getting out of the prison. They were concerned about being in Jesus' presence forevermore. Their attitude changed. It was no more, I want to get out, I need to get out, but it was like, I can stay right here in the midst of debt, in the midst of my broken situation, and still be free. And still be free. We have a message to the world that no matter what's going on in your life, you can be free, spiritually free, mentally free. Bills stacked up here, but I'm still free. Got three baby daddies that I don't like, but I'm still free. Come on. Got a bad report card, but I'm still free, and I'm going to do better. I'm still free, though. Nobody likes me at school, but I'm still free. Can't even buy a friend, but I'm still free. Because Jesus is the most important person, the most important asset to have. And I'm free. And get this, get this, get this. The jailer goes to Paul and Silas and he says, What happened here? What happened? So we got to get to a place where people come to the doors and they say, what happened here? I was driving by and I heard some noise and I was at the store and somebody told me that they came to Bakersfield Southside and got delivered. And I just came by to come by and say, what happened here? what happened here at this place? The jailer said, what happened? And he bowed down to Paul and Silas because he knew that they caused the situation and it was supernatural. We got to get to a place where we come together as a church and supernatural things happen. That people are set free, addictions are broken because we are together and we caused something to happen. Because our prayers are causing things to happen, our worship is causing things to happen. We gotta get there, church. So the jailer says, come outside, let me talk to you for a moment. I'm not even worried about the prisoners. They're over there worshiping. What can I do to be saved? When was the last time somebody asked you on your job or at school, young people, what must I do to be saved? When was the last time somebody sent you a Facebook message and said, hey, what must I do to be saved? Because your status changed my life. It caused me to think, what must I do to be saved? We got to live the type of life that attracts, that we are a walking advertisement, a walking marketing campaign for Christ that says, I'm free because I'm free indeed by the blood of Jesus. And where people are coming in and bumping into us wondering, what is it? What is it? How can I get it? Paul and Silas ended up going to the jailer's home and eating with him. This is amazing. Just out of prison, out in a dark place, and now you're eating with the person who put you there. The Bible says that he prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Woo! When God does something, you will be able to look at your enemy in the face over some grillers, stripples, some collard greens, and mashed potatoes, and say, you know what? It's all good because Jesus is at the table with us. No more hard feelings. No resentment. But Jesus is at the table with us. And so his whole family came around and gathered at the table, and they had a Bible study, and they began to praise and worship God, and the whole house was saved. From one. Whatever you do this week, if you can just get one, if you can just save one and send them out, they'll bring their whole family back in. That's the kind of life that we should live as Christians. Victorious lives. Contagious lives. That when you see people who are down, you can say, you're not out for the count yet. There's still hope. There's still deliverance available. I feel a song in my spirit. Lord, I'm available to you. And I'm not going to sing it. Marlon, if you would come and just sing that song, because, you know, I want to keep the Spirit of God in this place. Lord, I'm available to you. Use me, Jesus. Consecrate my every member for your service. Amen. Amen. Let us all stand and get in the position to serve and to go out and stand on your feet and praise.
Lord, I'm available. do as you say, to be Lord, to show someone the way, and enable me to say, my storage is empty, and I am available to you. Show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty,
and I'm available.
I am available to you.
Is that anybody's prayer today? Use me, Jesus.
I'm available.
No matter
to you.
Where it leads me, if it leads me into the darkest places,
my will I give to
in the
you.
Darkest circumstances, use me, Lord.
Use
because
me,
there's somebody
Lord,
who needs
to show
me to show them you. Is that your prayer today? If that's your prayer, wave your hand and say, use me, Lord.
Oh, oh, oh.
My storage
is empty, Lord.
And I am available
to you.
One more time.
Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available to you. Show someone the way and
enable me
to say, my storage is empty,
oh Lord,
and I am available to you.
Father in heaven, you see every person here standing. We give ourselves to you, Lord, for your service, dear Father. We want to be used for your glory, even if it inconveniences us, even if it takes me 5 minutes more to get home. And if I have to stop and tell somebody about you, God, I'm willing to do it. God, we ask that you would bless this program, this evangelistic program for this week, Lord. Bring people in by the droves, dear Father. The world is dark, and people are in prison, and it's hopeless out there, but we have some hope under this roof, dear God. So as we go out to bring people in, Lord, continue to consecrate us and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that they don't see our faults, but they see you, Jesus. We thank you. We love you. We magnify you because you're excellent, because you're worthy, because you sent your son to save a wretch like me. And now that I'm free, I want to get somebody else free. I thank you, Lord, because you're mighty, because you're wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.